Reconciliation is such a big word. It implies knowing each other well enough to understand each other and get along together. Critical facts make a difference. The facts of Canada's early history and its relationship with its Indigenous peoples might surprise you. Speaker Jane Knox finds it changed her perception of herself as a Canadian. With words and song, Jane shares her learning journey toward better listening, speaking up, and reaching out for a stronger community.
As I explained in articles written for the February, March, and April editions of our 2016 Chalice, I have been struggling to grasp, what does reconciliation mean? The Office of the Treaty Commissioner says reconciliation is about exploring the past and choosing to build a better future. It's understanding each other and building trust. It's recognizing we are all treaty people, and that means we're in this together. I'm on this journey as one who tries to live our Unitarian principles. I do value the worth and dignity of every person. I strive to give acceptance and compassion to all others. I feel my connection to the land and my garden as part of the interconnected web of life. As a Unitarian, I want to promote justice and equity in human relations. And to me, that means our government systems for health, education, and justice should provide equivalent services in a fair way to all Saskatchewan people. So when I speak of my growing understanding of reconciliation, it's in this context. One of my goals during 2016 has been to learn more about Indigenous people, their history, and the issues that affect them today. What I have learned has changed me. I perceived myself as an informed person, but the more I learn, the more I must admit that I'm still woefully ignorant and possibly more naive than most young people today. I was a proud Canadian. Now I must face our real history and the truth that our government systems still today work against Canada's Indigenous people. I must face the fact that I am, like most Canadians, I seldom question the information I am fed and passively accept events that should cause an outcry. So I've tolerated without a peep situations like this. Thousands of Canadians living in Saskatchewan still do not have clean drinking water. And like this, our federal government still provides about one-third less money per child for the education of Indigenous children on reserve schools than they give for children attending public schools in Saskatchewan. Sadly, there are many situations where our federal and provincial governments fail to provide equitable services to all the people of Saskatchewan. But I can no longer say with a shrug, well, you know, I tried. Now I accept that trying as an individual really is not enough. John Ralston Saul, author of the book A Fair Country, 2008, said in a 2016 interview on the CBC program Unreserved with Rosanna Deerchild, for about 125 years, give or take, the Canadian government has acted extremely badly, breaking treaties, breaking agreements. He said, at a certain point, it really isn't good enough for citizens to say, I feel so badly about what happened. It's a way of getting out of doing something, he said. So, what can we do? Well, we cannot assume all is well, because we know it is not. In this fellowship, I do not hear denial, although I have certainly heard it from others. Oh, the residential schools weren't so bad. Really? The silence of the last 140 years has not helped. We can no longer ignore the needs of our First Nation neighbors. I've been thinking about what I can do and what we can do together. I think we can all observe. We can listen. We can speak up and reach out. So what do we mean? We can welcome butterflies, I guess. At this time of year, they're always welcome, right? Somewhat disconcerting, maybe, but we'll try to ignore that. So what's observe? Well, look at situations where the old stereotypes do not apply, and there are many. Take note of how our biases influence the way we interpret what we see. For example, look at the successful business ventures operated by Indigenous people. Everything from catering to trucking to business equipment sales, and of course art, both as curators in our own Mackenzie Art Gallery and as artists themselves. Listen. Seek opportunities to learn about various societal issues, and I've been doing a lot of that this year. But also ask questions and pay attention to the answers. Listen for the real meaning and broad impact of what people are saying. And one I'm working on, speak up. Silence does not work. Hello. Oh my, it is a butterfly and it is gorgeous. It's not a moth at all. Not a monarch, but with orange and black. Sorry, the butterfly. Thank you. Yeah, it was right on top of my words. There might be a message in that, do you think? So seek opportunities to learn about various societal issues. Ask questions. Pay attention to the answers. Listen for the real meaning and broad impact of what people are saying. Speak up. Silence does not work. We need to learn to correct errors. When you hear false statements, respond, that statement is biased. Or, that's not true. I have learned this. Share facts with others in writing and verbally, both informally and formally. And try not to worry about little mistakes. They do contribute to our learning. Be alert to others' need to speak out. That is, avoid self-centered verbosity, and that's really hard for me. You were supposed to laugh, come on. Reach out. Take small steps that are easily within your control. Our Social Action Committee asks us to donate empty food containers to Carmichael House. They have food to share, but need containers to give the food to the homeless. To me, this is a really effective strategy as it supports a well-established system for meeting basic needs. Perhaps we can seek out other such agencies that need a little help. We can also vote for city officials who seem more aware and willing to build trust. We need their leadership. A slightly bigger step might be to promote greater investments in education, housing, and clean water. This might mean writing to elected officials. It could also mean searching for agencies that actively support First Nations youth who want more education but need financial support. For example, Inspire, which I discovered a couple of years ago. Attending events about social issues that affect Indigenous people is also helpful. Build respectful relationships with people when you meet them, perhaps when you're attending those special events. Look for opportunities to walk together with Indigenous people towards solutions for a healthier society. It will take a long time to repair the damage in Treaty 4 territory and elsewhere, but we must move forward. I'm sad when I look at the statistics for health that were handed out today in your order of service. They do not look very different than they did 40 years ago when I first started studying health statistics. I fear that someday my children will ask me what I've been doing with my career. Reconciliation is not a direct line of clear steps toward a positive result. It's more like a spiral, a journey toward clearer vision of our country and our role in achieving positive outcomes. It requires circling back and pausing while you gather strength to go on. It is sharing your journey, as I'm doing today, and hoping that that will encourage others. I know that I am not adequate to the urgent problems of our time. None of us are adequate alone. But together, we can make Canada a better country for all its citizens. Let us use the impetus of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, to create opportunities to support those who are working towards healing and to take steps toward walking together with Indigenous colleagues. In the last 5 years, here in the Unitarian Fellowship, we've been educating ourselves. Now we need to take action in ways that will improve the lives of our neighbors, the First Nations people of Treaty 4. With compassion and understanding of our human limitations, we need to ask ourselves, what can we do as Unitarians? Our Social Action Committee has begun work on affordable housing. What can we do to help them? How can we, as a fellowship, learn more? What concrete actions can we take to demonstrate our commitment to societal change? Who should we seek out as partners? I hope that you will share your thoughts and questions as we discuss this presentation. And thank you for listening today.
Jane, are you willing to take questions and comments?
For sure, but I really need a drink.
Okay. As usual, we will have questions and comments at this time. Does anyone? I'll wait till Jane gets back up here. Okay.
That's for you. Yeah, this is for you too.
Oh, okay.
I have a backup plan if nobody has questions.
I don't know if it's a question more than a comment, but it seems to me that What the colonizers really did to certainly this part of the world was really destroyed an economy that was functioning and had been functioning for many, many years. And in the treaties, what we've created is, or should have created, was a partnership between two nations in terms of going forward. And it seems to me that unless we can provide some sort of a reconciliation in terms of economics, I don't think we're going to get there, because I really do think that that's what rules any relationship, and certainly in terms of in today's terms, some fair sharing of resource revenue would be the very least and the very start of the process, in my view.
I really agree. Thanks very much for that, Jamie. I think we have to tackle the resource issue straight on. And I don't know how it will go, but my personal belief is that as Canadians, we have to give a little more taxes and make sure that some of that money goes where it needs to go. But maybe we have to do more as individuals, too, and look at where we put any extra dollars we have for charitable giving. There are a lot of different ways. But I want to use this opportunity, too, when we're talking about economics, to mention that in August of this year, the World Indigenous Business Forum was held here in Regina. Like, we're a hotbed of ideas and ways to go forward. And what are we doing to support that? And, you know, making sure that the individuals in our community benefit from those efforts that people are making. Well, let's play that music, Jim, while people are thinking. Maybe they have other questions. I brought for you today one of my favorite reconciliation songs. There are lots out there. I was really surprised when I went looking. But this one touches me. I hope it will touch you, too, and maybe you'll have other questions or comments that you want to make. Sorry, technology is sometimes challenging. You know, I thought you'd have more pushback for me this morning. So I sort of laid a heavy on all of us, didn't I? I mean, I'm struggling myself to figure that out. Carol? He's not. Why don't you use this? Use this.
Well, I think it is that everyone is a bit overwhelmed when you begin to think of what you can do personally. It's quite easy to see what organizations could do and levels of government. It's kind of tough to figure out how I can make a meaningful impact. And I'm sure that everyone has thought of a number of ways. Now, aside from issues of economics and social justice in other ways, at a personal level, I just wanted to mention a couple of programs at the... Sad, Mike. At the Lifelong Learning Center, I know a lot of people. Well, I look around, and there's a few grandmothers. There's grandfathers too, and that's what I don't really like about this. But it's for grandmothers, Aboriginal grandmothers caring for grandchildren, for those grandmothers who are raising their grandchildren. This is a support network, which includes monthly meetings with interesting speakers from community agencies, and tea and bannock are always served. And then they also have intercultural grandmothers uniting, all older women who are interested in building bridges of understanding, respect, trust, and friendship among First Nations, Métis, and other women are welcome to attend these monthly meetings. I sometimes think if you start really small and keep getting your circle bigger and bigger, the big issues are easier to tackle. So at a personal level, get to know somebody.
Okay.
Mushroom, what's wrong? Look what they've done. They hurt a little one, took away her pride, left her empty inside, took away the love, the one she got from above, destroyed her life. She will never be a wife. That's what they've done. They hurt the little one. That's what they've done. They hurt the little one. Yes, I'm okay. Now that you're here, and I'm here, we don't have to look back anymore. We can only look ahead. And it's all because of you. We're going ahead now.
I don't quite know how to say this. You know, the misunderstanding and hate that's out there is much higher than most of us are willing to admit. It reminds me of Sam Harris saying, you know, we must confront religions that are not liberal. But how do you do that? I mean, except if you have a forum where you can stand up and say your view. You can't go up to somebody and say, you are crazy, the things you're saying, or your religion is bad, you know. And when you hear nasty comments about Native people, it's hard. For example, we're part of a bridge club in Lumsden, and there's a delightful lady. And in regard to truth and reconciliation, she was just angry about that, and made some comment. Well, I said the only thing I could think of to say without going into a full-fledged attack on her is, I disagree with you on that. I don't know.
You know, that's a really good start. Yeah. Just say you disagree, but speak up. Do not let that go by. We have to speak up. I have reached that only recently, and I'm ashamed that. You know, it takes me almost 70 years to get to that point where I'm saying, no way, I'm not going to stand for that. But you do. You have to speak up. You have to say, that's ridiculous. And I do sometimes. But you have to judge your audience. And sometimes just saying, I have to disagree. That's good enough. That's a start. That might open conversation. Sandra had something, and Carol, you already spoke.
So. You're first, 'cause I'll...
Oh, you want the last say, okay. We are running out of time now, too, so.
Have... Sorry?
Hold it close.
You're all right now? Sorry, I was trying. Reminds me of when I had Thanksgiving dinner many years ago with my living aunts and my very young son. And the old aunts and my cousin were unbelievably rude, ignorant, and outspoken on issues related to First Nations. And I sat for a few minutes. And then he stood up and he said, that's enough. I'm not going to listen to any more of this. If you people are like this, we're not eating here anymore. And he left. And I was proud of him. He was 13. Well, maybe he didn't think he had a lot to lose. I don't know. But
we'll take another question. Yeah. Comment? Yeah.
Okay. John would like to say
sure.
something.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for being here, John.
Yeah, I was in boys' school on Dojack, what they call Dojack now. Well, this is many years ago, and this priest, well, so-called priest, he sexually assaulted all the boys that the newcomers that come in, and he had, you know, he had stick things right up our rear, and you know, and now, so we go to court now, okay, and then we tell them what happened and what, and then after a while, you know, the government or this prime, whatever this building is here across the water, they said, well, let me think about this now. And then they get back to you and say, no, we can't help you. We can't, you know, can't do nothing for you. You know, after all this hurting that I went through, and they're saying, oh, yeah, we're going to give you this and that, and, that is all BS.
Our government systems aren't responding very well.
No.
Not in many ways. And we do have to look for elected officials who will help us do better. Sandra, you had something to share as well.
This is just a general question that I wanted to kind of throw out there, but there's not that much time now, but maybe people might be interested in talking about it later. And it might not be an important point, but it seemed important to me. Thank you, Jane. I'm sort of taking over for a minute here. When the oil spill happened on the Saskatchewan River, for the first, I don't know how many days, we did not hear of any First Nation whose land was affected. And I kept thinking, well, I know there are First Nations up there. Why aren't they being reported? And so I took out my map, and I was looking for First Nations along the Saskatchewan River. Guess what? Do you know that there are no First Nations listed on the map? None. The official map of Saskatchewan. What is going on? It renders every community invisible. Anyway, since then I've been kind of filled with anger and not really knowing where to put it and wondering, well, is that very big? But yes, to me it's big. Like, how do people find their way around? How do First Nations find their relatives or communities they want to visit, or how do they find them? I don't know. But it seems wrong to me. And that shouldn't take attention off treaty promises that are being broken. But that seems to me to be one way that we're just being continuously and ongoing insulting and disempowering rather than empowering. Anyway, maybe, do you want to speak to that?
I was just going to say that the latest roadmap actually shows the First Nations as sort of a different color, but there's no indication as to which group they are. And I was just thinking as you were speaking that, you know, one of the things that we can do is to talk to the authorities about the things that they're not doing. So, for example, if we could, I don't know who, I think it would be worthwhile checking out who is responsible for the roadmaps and saying, why? Why are these people invisible? Why can't they be on the map? Literally. I mean, that's a metaphor in one way, but it's also a literal issue. Why the heck are the First Nations territories not shown on the ordinary Saskatchewan roadmap? Because they are invisible and they don't matter. So let's do something about that. And I think that applies to many other things that we have every right and we should be taking responsibility to talk to the authorities about specific instances that we are aware of and taking action on that.
Well, I think a lot of us are motivated to do things, and I know a lot of us do a lot of petition signing and demonstrating and various things, but keeping up those things is important, and I think, too, building strength in certain areas to push forward an agenda that has many fronts, but sort of focus enough to get things done. I really appreciated, where is Jane? Oh, there you are. I didn't lift my head up high up there. Thank you so much for this presentation. It drew our attention once again to our responsibilities and to the fact that just feeling outrage and shame isn't enough, that moving into the action part is important. We've done quite a bit of self-education in this fellowship, and we have a city election coming up, and I think really asking those people what their stand is on housing and poverty and issues of opportunity and transportation and things like where do people vote? Did you hear about that one? Many people who don't have decent or their own transportation, their poll has been moved out to the East End instead of North Central. And so, and they're putting a bus route on, so people have to take half an hour to get there and half an hour back, and they're acting like they're being very accommodating, but actually it's a way to keep it. It's a way that will keep, whether it's deliberate or not, it will keep people from voting. Anyway, I just want to make a comment on the butterfly. I am not a person who believes in things that are unscientific. However, I know that in South American literature, animals, and particularly butterflies, are used to represent the spirit, spirit from the past, people who have gone before. And I just couldn't help having goosebumps, and I have it now. I'm talking again. I have goosebumps because when I was thinking about the service and choosing the words of Black Elk, I just felt the wisdom of that and wondered if there's any way we can actually move in the direction that Black Elk really was talking about, a oneness of all people. Anyway, I thought of his spirit gone, but also the butterfly seemed to me to be representing that, and it moved me. So anyway, thank you, Jane, for this presentation today. We always appreciate it when members of our own fellowship give the presentations, just as well as others. So thanks again.